always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I would ask you one last question. Is the decision not to prosecute President Biden for effectively the same crime for which DOJ is prosecuting President Trump, is it because DOJ has determined the president is not mentally fit to defend himself and stand trial for his crime, but former President Trump is?
I say again, that's an inaccurate description of Mr. Herr's report, and I would rest on Mr. Herr's report.
It's the only assertion he made.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Perhaps you are watching us streaming wise anywhere around the globe. You can watch us on Rumble, rumble.com. You can watch us at Facebook. You can watch us at Twitter, on Instagram, and on YouTube when it's not banning us. I think it's currently up. You can also listen to us at 101.9/94.1. Yep, those are your old-fashioned, good old, trusty FM transmitter dials. You also can listen to us on your telephone. You're like, what kind of crazy talk are you talking about? Yeah, your telephone is your radio these days. Yeah, all you have to do is download the News Talk STL app. Simply download the News Talk STL app onto your phone from the iPhone store or the Android store. Do they call it the Android store, Joey, or is it the Google Play store? I don't use those devices. I'm like speaking Martian when I try to talk about Android devices.
Yeah,
and all
it's
that.
Just the Android store. Google just gets rid of features and names and things all the time. There used to be a thing called Google Podcasts. They got rid of that. The Google Play Store, they got rid of that. Now it's just Google TV. They don't know what they want, being the richest company in the world, mm-hmm. right behind Apple.
Changing their socks.
Yeah, I don't know what they're up to.
Okay, so, all right, so I did get it right. So download News Talk STL, the app, and seriously, our app is so easy to use. You download the app, and then there's this giant, you pull up the app, and there's a lot of cool little features in the app, but if you just, you know, if you don't want to be bothered with that and just want to listen, there's this giant play button right in the middle of the app. It works lickety-split. I use the app all the time when I'm traveling, rolling through airports. I Bluetooth it to my earbuds, to, you know, the rental cars that I'm in, what have you. It's the easiest way to take News Talk STL Nation with you on the road. I'm Tim Jones, of course, former Speaker of your Missouri House. Chris Arps, our political consultant extraordinaire, is out and about on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow, I'm sure, with many stories from the great beyond or wherever he has been. In the meantime, to entertain, enthrall, and inform you, we also have producer Joey V by my side today. Joey, do you know if the Tuesday? Did the Cards play yesterday or not? Do you have any clue?
I could look it up in a second, but I sound dumb right now, not knowing it off the top of my head. Let's see, they lost to the Astros, now that I remember.
Okay.
You know, I've been to Houston a few times. I worked for SiriusXM, and I consider that Houston baseball stadium almost like a second home, just because I got to have my way with that place. Not the Astrodome.
The new one.
Yeah, the new one.
Is the new one nice?
It's wonderful. Okay. It's crazy having a roof on your stadium where you can play any time a day, and then it's always air conditioned. So I always have a fondness for Minute Maid Park, or the Juice Box, as they call it.
The Juice Box. That's great. Yeah, the Cardinals unfortunately slipped to the Astros last night, 7-4. That means they're now 2 games under .500. They were making such great strides. They had won 7 of their last 10. Now it's 6 of their last 10. Just get back on those winning ways. They're 28-30 right now in the NL Central. I think they're still in second place, or maybe the tie for third. But, you know, all is not lost. But we've got the big, don't we have the big Battle Hawks game, Joey, this weekend?
Yeah, there's a playoff game this weekend, and then there's the championship game after that. Both will be at the Dome, so go and pack that place.
Yeah, pack that place. They're in the Final Four then, huh?
Mm-hmm,
Final
of Four? Of course, yeah.
That's fantastic. That's really good. Hey, I had Joey play that clip from Chip Roy heading in, and that's because there are allegations that the Biden-Herr audio, the transcript, may have been tampered with. And the DOJ is blaming it on AI. So they're blaming it on the giant AI thing at the bottom of the sea that we saw in Mission Impossible's Dead Reckoning. No, this is what they're saying. And this is from, so this is from Politico. So take it with a grain of salt, because, you know, generally Politico, the political playbook, is the Bible for the center-left governing majority in Washington, D.C. But here's what they say. So here's their new excuse. So you know how they've been, the Biden White House obviously does not want the audio. I don't know if there was video too, but they definitely don't want the audio released, because they're worried about how bad Joe Biden sounds, right? That's the only reason they don't want to release. They've released the transcript, which they've apparently like redacted and adjusted multiple times. They don't want the actual audio released. And they've come up with every excuse under the sun. Could you imagine if the shoe was on the other foot? Just do the flip test on this. That Trump audio would have been forced to have been released like within 30 seconds of him sitting for some kind of testimony. The Department of Justice, in a court filing late last Friday night, don't you love how these things come out late on a Friday night? These are the things they don't want you to see. That's the old media trick, right? They dump things on Friday nights. The Justice Department last Friday night warned that releasing the audio could lead to it being improperly altered. Okay, so wait a minute. So they're saying, okay, so the story is the audio is fine right now, but if they release it, it could be, anything can be tampered with in today's world. In fact, things could be tampered with before AI was created. So that's their latest excuse. The Politico says the Justice Department is seizing on an increasingly common fear as it fights to prevent, at least they got that right, the release of the audio of President Joe Biden's interview with former special counsel Robert Hur. It could spawn deep fakes. Okay, so because maybe it could be tampered with, that's the latest concern, not to release the audio. I think they doth protest too much. I think they don't want America to hear, in Joe Biden's own words, why he's no longer fit and why he hasn't been fit for many years, or probably wasn't even fit in the first place to be president of the United States, much less all the horrible policies. And, you know, that's the other thing, too. Putting aside Joe Biden's health or lack thereof, his policies have just been absolutely horrible. I know how everybody talks about, they're like, well, he's not fit for the job anymore. He's mentally incompetent. He's got dementia. Okay. Maybe that's all true, and in most days it appears to be very true, but I also don't want to lose the argument that the policies of left, it's not just the man, right? I don't want the left to get away easy. I don't want them to be able to say at some point that we're just going to switcheroo Biden out and then everything's happy and good again. No, the policies of Joe Biden, which have been created by his advisors and the people around him, they suck as well, right? Everything he's done on the economy, to our judicial system, our electoral system, our broken, completely obliterated southern border, 12, 13, 14, maybe more illegal aliens roaming around the country, and now suddenly, 5 months before the election, he's issuing executive orders to fix the problem that he said he couldn't fix by executive order, and that Congress was the only one that could fix this order. So, you know, that's all political BS. What he's done to the energy sector, so on and so forth. So, you know, I don't want us it should be every weapon, political weapon, rhetorical. Okay, I'm not talking about actual weapons. Every rhetorical political weapon should be up for use. Yes, he's a disaster himself. 82-year-old dementia-ridden Joe is a problem. But putting aside the man, his policies are horrible as well. And those would be the policies of Newsom or Pritzker or Whitmer or the man in the moon. Or woman in the moon that they want to drag forward to replace Joe in some kind of switcheroo that I think is very possible. They just don't know how to exactly do it because the Bidens won't step aside. All right. Tony Fauci was on Capitol Hill yesterday and got appropriately grilled by a congressional panel subcommittee in the House. And basically everything he said was either him making excuses or not remembering, or misremembering, or remembering things the opposite of how we all remember things. There were no mea culpas. There were no apologies. There was no, look, this guy told us he was the science. Then why did the science get everything so wrong? I think this is an appropriate time for me to bring back something that was published back in October of 2020. In the very first year of COVID, some brilliant people figured out how we should have been handling COVID, almost the direct opposite of what Tony Fauci forced on us to be to be handling COVID. And here he is 4 years later up on Capitol Hill, and he still is not coming to grips with the fact that he was absolutely wrong about this and he caused untold amounts of damage and possibly even death and despair along the way. That's the subject of today's Speaker Stump Speech.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
And I'll unpack this further at 525 with a actual doctor, not just one that plays one on the radio, but the good Dr. Randy Tober will join us, and I'm going to ask him about the Great Barrington Declaration, which I'm going to read to you now. First of all, what is the Great Barrington Declaration, in case you've forgotten about? It was a simple one-page declaration authored and signed in the United States of America by three brilliant people. Now, these are not crackpots. These are not deniers or, you know, people in tinfoil hats. Listen to who these three folks were who wrote this. Dr. Martin Kulldorff, professor of medicine at Harvard University, a biostatistician and epidemiologist with expertise in detecting and monitoring infectious disease outbreaks and vaccine safety evaluations. You think he has something to say possibly about COVID and how we should have been handling it back in October of 2020? Dr. Sunetra Gupta, professor at Oxford University. Yeah, you've heard of that too, haven't you? An epidemiologist with expertise in immunology, vaccine development, and mathematical modeling of infectious diseases. And last but certainly not least, got to see him a couple weeks ago. Got to see him last week in, 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, professor at Stanford University Medical School, physician, epidemiologist, health economist, public health policy expert focusing on what? Infectious diseases and vulnerable populations. Do you think these three fellows, graduates of Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford, have something to say that perhaps we should have listened a little more closely to back in October 2020? 4 years hence, let's go back and read what they had to say and ask yourselves if maybe we should have followed their advice instead of Mr. I'm the Science advice, the guy who was in bed with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Tony Fauci, Fauci the fraud. This declaration, by the way, has been signed by over 940,000 individuals, most of whom are in some sort of field of the three authors, all across the globe. It's been translated into, 11. They got this big chart. It's been translated into 44 separate languages, and it reads as such. The Great Barrington Declaration. As infectious disease epidemiologists and public health scientists, we have grave concerns about the damaging physical and mental health aspects of the prevailing COVID-19 policies and recommend an approach we call focused protection. Coming from both the left and right and around the world, we have devoted our careers to protecting people. Current lockdown policies are producing devastating effects on short and long-term public health. The results, to name a few, include lower childhood vaccination rates, worsening cardiovascular disease outcomes, fewer cancer screenings and deteriorating mental health, leading to greater excess mortality in years to come, with the working class and younger members of society carrying the heaviest burden. Keeping students out of school is a grave injustice. Keeping these measures in place until a vaccine is available, remember this was pre-vaccine, will cause irreparable damage, with the underprivileged disproportionately harmed. Fortunately, our understanding of the virus is growing. Yeah, nobody ever admitted that other than these folks, right? And we were told that if we did understand the virus, then we were just crackpots. Back to the declaration. We know that vulnerability to death from COVID-19 is more than a thousandfold higher in the old and infirm than the young. Indeed, for children, COVID-19 is less dangerous than many other harms, including influenza. As immunity builds in the population, the risk of infection to all, including the vulnerable, falls. We know that all populations will eventually reach herd immunity, the point at which the rate of new infection is stable, and that this can be assisted by, but is not dependent upon, a vaccine. Our goal should therefore be to minimize mortality and social harm until we reach herd immunity. And guess what, folks? We're there now, aren't we? When was the last time you heard about COVID-19? The most compassionate approach that balances the risks and benefits of reaching herd immunity is to allow those who are at minimal risk of death to live their lives normally, to build up immunity to the virus through natural infection, while better protecting those who are at highest risk. We call this focused protection. Adopting measures to protect the vulnerable should be the central aim of public health responses to COVID. By way of example, nursing homes should use staff with acquired immunity and perform frequent testing of other staff and visitors. Staff rotation should be minimized. Retired people living at home should have groceries and other essentials delivered. When possible, they should meet family members outside rather than inside. A comprehensive and detailed list of measures, including approaches to multi-generational households, can be implemented and is well within the scope and capability of public health professionals. Those who are not vulnerable should immediately be allowed to resume life as normal. Simple hygiene measures, such as hand washing and staying home when sick, should be practiced by everyone to reduce the herd immunity threshold. Schools and universities should be open for in-person teaching. Extracurricular activities such as sports should be resumed. Young, low-risk adults should work normally rather than from home. Restaurants and other businesses should open. Arts, music, sport, and other cultural activities should resume. People who are more at risk may participate if they wish, while society as a whole enjoys the protection conferred upon the vulnerable by those who have built up herd immunity. October 4th, 2020, this declaration was authored and signed in Great Barrington, United States, by Drs. Martin Kulldorff, Sunetra Gupta, and Jay Bhattacharya. And that's the speaker stump speech for today. And that, folks, is pretty much the angle that the entire country of Sweden, which is akin to the state of New York, took. Sweden did much better than New York under the final sum game. Have you noticed how nobody wants to talk about COVID anymore? Nobody wants to talk about comparing what we did in our country to nations like Sweden, who basically followed the Great Barrington Declaration in sum and substance, because if we talk about that, then we have to admit that Dr. Anthony the Science Fauci was wrong and that folks like Bhattacharya, Kulldorff, and Gupta were spot on. All right, let's shift gears now. Well, or maybe not so much, and bring in our own doctor, Dr. Randy Tobler, when we come back from this break. I'm going to ask him about that and what he thought about Fauci's latest meanderings up on Capitol Hill. The guy who knew everything, Fauci, suddenly apparently knows and remembers nothing. We'll talk about that and the other headlines of the day. Hunter Biden up on the hot seat and more. The Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
This morning, Dr. Anthony Fauci back in the spotlight after fiery emotional testimony on Capitol Hill. Fauci choking up as he described death threats against his family.
It is very troublesome to me. It is much more troublesome because they've involved my wife and my three daughters.
He rejected unfounded allegations from GOP lawmakers.
I keep an open mind that it could be either a laboratory leak or it could be what I think the data is leaning towards mostly, which is a natural occurrence from an animal reservoir.
Overnight, Fauci responding to reports a January 6th defendant was sitting behind him before being removed from the hearing.
Now, what's somebody like that doing at a hearing about COVID?
You know, I don't feel sorry for the tyrant crying his little crocodile tears these days. The guy who was the self-declared the science now can hardly remember anything that happened just barely 2 years ago. Maybe I'm being too rough on the little guy. Let's bring in our next guest and see what he has to say about that and more.
Gentlemen, we're about to enter the fascinating sphere of police work. The world of forensic medicine.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer.
As he does every Tuesday afternoon, the good Dr. Randy Tobler joining us once again at Randy Tobler MD. And you can follow him, of course, as well here every Saturday morning. A fantastic show. I always listen while I'm preparing to hit the links. The Randy Tobler Show, 6 to 9 a.m. at NewsTalkSTL. Doc, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. And I appreciate your special guest appearances right before you're ready to hit the links. It always helps really make the show such a great thing. It's so fun to talk to you on Saturdays now and then.
It's always a pleasure and an honor, Randy. So, Randy, you know, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm callous. Maybe I'm just a big meanie. I don't feel sorry for Dr. Fauci and his crocodile tears. Look, Doc, this was a guy who declared himself the self-proclaimed science, you know, not only of our country, but of the world. And now here we are, Doc. We're 4 years later, and it's like, why don't we know more than we know? It's like he's not even interested in about it. He doesn't remember. He doesn't recall. You know, it still could have been a penguin kissing a pangolin, as Jon Stewart famously said in that little comedy sketch. And, you know, so, Doc, why isn't anybody asking Fauci, so, Tony, what did happen? And if you don't know, why don't we know at this point? We can put, you know, we can put men on the moon. We can listen to things from Mars. We can't figure out where this virus came from. Or do we really know? And did Fauci have something to do with it?
You know, I'm not a molecular biologist, and I don't do DNA sequencing and, you know, splicing and analysis to that level. But reading enough of the literature and understanding enough of what they're talking about when they look at these analyses, and especially looking at the extraordinary efforts, Tim, that they went to, you know, not only with that Nature article where how many experts, you know, sort of were, I think, nudged and manipulated into saying that, oh, no, this couldn't be, you know, this couldn't be from an escape virus from the lab. Along with what's come out as, you know, a suppression of, you know, and a conspiracy, really. I mean, I don't think there's any other word you could use to suppress discussion of that, you know, in the emails, and his assistant, who he's absolutely, you know, run under the bus, right? I think there's enough evidence and circumstantial evidence and process evidence that probably they really think there's a much better than even, if not a substantial chance, that this thing was manipulated in the lab and escaped. I mean, the sad thing is, if Fauci would have been as contrite as he is now, back then, and not had the swagger that he had then and has dropped. I mean, that swagger has dropped to some degree. I think maybe we'd be telling a different story. I mean, I think Americans are a gracious people. They tend to say, hey, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you're making a good faith effort and you tell us you got some confusion, but it's better to err on the side of caution. And, you know, the best evidence we have at this time says that, but we're monitoring it. And as soon as something changes what we're advising, we're going to let you know. I think it would have been different. It's just funny that now he's very open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the messaging we got before. And when he said he was science, I mean, that just, I think, speaks to what happens to people that acquire power and they acquire authority and they start listening to what other people like the media are saying about them. And I guess that's what points us to the brilliance of the founding fathers when they realized that no matter who you are, no matter who you are, you can be a saint one day, and the human instinct at some point and the base default mechanism is to sort of cave in to that, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Look at that guy in the mirror. Look at me. And then it goes south. And I think that's what happened to Fauci. I hate to see it because, you know, you think about the SARS, the first SARS epidemic, and especially when MERS, the Middle Eastern respiratory virus, that puppy was seriously, I mean, that was like near Andromeda strain deadly. But luckily, it wasn't infectious. But I think of that. I think of the anthrax that was released from the top of a building. You know, Fauci was intimately involved in that after 9/11 in the you know, analysis of that. And I think he did a lot of good work. And I hate to see a guy who really had a storied career just lose it all with ambition and power and it's just a shame to see.
And Doug, isn't some of the biggest problems that we're learning now is that some of these things that were the biggest monikers, like the biggest emblems of the COVID years, the masking, the 6 feet of social distancing, you know, the things that were emblazoned into our minds that we had to do, shutting down of schools, we're now learning that at least some of those things, they weren't arguable, they were completely and utterly made up. And so if Fauci was willing to, let's just say it, lie about one of those items, what else was he not telling us the truth about? Doc, and that's a problem, right? Because that's another dismantling of trust in institutions that we need to be able to trust in, right?
Well, you're right. And you know, in fairness, again, originally, we all thought the preponderance of evidence at the beginning of the pandemic was that this was not spread in an aerosolized fashion, for instance, like TB and other viruses. that it was these, you know, sort of larger droplets that don't carry as far when you cough or sneeze or laugh or spew, you know, whatever. And it turns out that over time, you know, studies were showing that, no, that, man, if someone coughs in an elevator, we can find it in the air 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, up to an hour later. And again, if he would have said, look, we think this is droplet. Previous studies show that among microbes that are spread in that transmission, it's a good idea to stay roughly 6 feet apart. Hey, try to do that if you can. If, you know, if you can't help it, okay, but really that'd be a great idea. That's not the way it was put. It was put that this is the science. I am the science. This is what you need to do. And now, again, he's trying to turf that responsibility over to CDC. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it was too heavy-handed, too soon, without enough guardrails and sort of cautionary, contingencies expressed. And then especially when we knew, gosh, the summer to mid to late summer of 20, it was already becoming apparent that children were pretty much not going to have any bad side effects with almost exclusive certainty. Not 100%. There were kids who got gravely ill, but for the most part, basically healthy kids were going to do fine. And they were not really vectors of transmission either, but they didn't acknowledge that. And that's the problem. It's okay to say, look, I found some new information. I got to change what I'm doing. Thanks for understanding. I think it would have been a different story.
Mm-hmm. Folks, we're having an excellent conversation this afternoon, as we always do, with the good Dr. Randy Tobler. He's at Randy Tobler MD on Twitter X. He's here every Saturday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., as he has been in the St. Louis region for many years. The Randy Tobler Show, 6 to 9 a.m. on Newstalk STL. And if you're ever in mid-Missouri, you can check him out every mornings on 93.9 The Eagle if you're rolling through Kingdom City, Columbia, and the mid-Missouri lands. Doc, speaking of political theater, the Biden administration today did something they said they weren't able to do a month or two ago, and that was issue an executive order to try and prevent the flow of illegal immigration to the tune of 12 to 13, 14, 15 million illegal aliens. Doc Chad Wolf, America First Policy Institute executive director and a guy who used to formerly be in charge of the border under Trump, says this executive order of Biden's is an indictment of his administration's failed border security policies for the past 3.5 years. The order maintains record levels of unlawful border crossings, does nothing to end catch and release, the use of the CBP One app, and the unlawful use of parole authority. Instead of political grandstanding, it's time to take bold action to bring this crisis to a close. Today's announcement is not that action. What say you?
I think this is the most disingenuous, vile, deceitful violation of the public trust I think I can recall in a long time. I thought the student debt relief and maybe the strategic oil relief, reserve release were pretty bad. I mean, pretty brazen political moves to just buy votes. This one tops them all. Mm-hmm. And what's worse is it basically concedes that, you know, in an area where I think we all would agree, shouldn't we all shoot for zero tolerance of border crossings? Wouldn't that be the goal? Instead, he sets a bar that's going to allow, if you allow that 2,500 limit before you shut it down, allegedly, and he's going to shut down the legal ports, that implies that he's going to somehow be able to magically stop the continued illegal crossings. Give me a break. But you're looking at, like, acknowledging, conceding, what, somewhere over a million every year coming in. And it's just, it's preposterous. It's brazenly political. It's an insult to the American people. It's not going to be enforced. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I hope that the American people can see through the lie and see through the way they're being really insulted. It's trying to hoodwink people, hoping that those who aren't engaged and don't understand the motivation behind it and how ineffective it is. I think he's hoping to buy a few votes because it may be a close election. Who knows?
That is for sure. Randy, before I let you go, I wanted to get you, even though I have a feeling I know generally what you're going to say because I listened to your analysis and your thoughts about the Trump trial conviction on Saturday morning. How about mirroring this, putting this up against the start of the Hunter Biden trial now, right? And Doc, at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, it's unfortunate that even though I have decades of experience as a practicing attorney, I can tell you what I think is going to happen in the aftermath of the Trump trial. I think he's going to get some sort of prison sentence from the judge. It may be a time served thing, but the judge wants to be able to say not only was Trump convicted, but he had to be sentenced to jail. Whereas in the Hunter Biden case, I think he's very likely going to get off scot-free. And Doc, I don't make that. That's not a legal analysis. Isn't that sad that I can look at that in a political analysis and say, well, Trump was tried in New York, so he's going to get whacked. And Hunter Biden is being tried basically in daddy's backyard, so he's not. That's not how our justice system is supposed to operate, yeah. Is it, Randy?
No, you're right. And I think they've already set up it. They've set it up to work out exactly as you described, because wasn't it like almost all, if not all, of the jurors were talking about they have close friends or family members or personally have been involved in drugs. They know about drugs. So you can see what's going to happen. He's going to get either some kind of a jury down conviction, you know, whatever they call it, lesser than he's charged. Or even if he does, there'll be some lenient sentence because we have to get out the violins and feel sorry for him. After all, drug abuse has nothing to do with personal responsibility. It's mm-hmm. all from the very first line of coke. It's all a disease. We all are born with a disease that like a Tourette's tick. When we see a line of coke, we have to say yes, even if we've never tried it before. So it's all a disease. And poor Hunter couldn't hold himself. He couldn't help himself. On the other hand, Donald Trump, I mean, come on, he should have known better. Yeah, I think you're right. On the other hand, look at what they can say. If there's some conviction, if there's some kind of a soft, you know, sentence for him, they can say, look, the law applies to everyone. There were no favorites here, when we all know that's not the way it's going to work mm-hmm. out in reality. Mm-hmm.
And Randy, in all seriousness, it's not the United States of America that we grew up on and were taught in school about. If the ruling regime, whoever that might be, can implement law and order for their political opponents, but not yep. for the folks in their party.
You're right, Tim. And you know what? I've been thinking a lot about not only just the unequal, you know, and the parallel system of justice and the two-system justice we have, two-tier system, but about people whose family members have been forever and tragically ruined because of a murder, a rape, an assault by an illegal alien who in most cases has multiple offenses, has crossed the border several times, perhaps several different. And, you know, you look at that and you say, my God, the president of the United, the ex-president of the United States, for some kind of an accounting error, you know, gets hammered. And, you know, is a fellow, and they can't even take care of a guy crossing the border that took out my son or my mm. daughter or my husband or my wife. How just brutally insulting and just horrific and indefensible is that? I mean, it's just amazing. And I just hope to God that people are engaged enough to figure it out and to make that verdict on November 5th just boomerang back on all the liberals who have been celebrating this so much.
Mm-hmm. More of that wit and wisdom every Saturday morning here. The Randy Tolber Show, every Saturday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. News Talk STL. You can follow him throughout the week and see what he's talking about in the mid-Missouri lands on 93.9 The Eagle at Randy Tobler, MD. Doc, it's always great to speak with you. Thanks for joining us again today.
Likewise. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you as well. All right, folks, just like that, lickety-split, we're near the end of another program, but we have one more jam-packed segment. I have all the details and the teasers of what the one great Larry Connors will be talking about this afternoon. Larry Connors, USA, of course, following the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp show every afternoon from 6 to 8 p.m. He's got three fantastic subjects he's going to be discussing. I'm going to deliver to you the top lines of those. Also, some reflections on what was a bit of a sad moment for me this morning. I'm going to tell you about that, but also a positive celebration of life. And we'll see what producer Joey V has in his cranium as we head towards the end of the program. When we come back here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The Biden administration is pushing for international support of its ceasefire proposal to end the war in Gaza.
The White House says it's working to get world leaders to back the deal, which could not only end the fighting, but also bring aid to Gaza. The push for a ceasefire comes right as the Israeli military announced four more hostages taken by Hamas were found dead. A Hamas propaganda video shows three of them alive this past December. The circumstances of their deaths still under investigation, according to Israeli Defense Forces. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has yet to agree to President Joe Biden's proposed ceasefire and and pressure is mounting for him to do so.
The proposal on the table is nearly identical to what Hamas said it would accept just a few weeks ago, and it is now time for them to act.
Well, Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, said the other day, though, that no matter what happens, they will be finishing the job. So whatever temporary ceasefire, I know the Biden administration is trying to put this behind them because they have a political problem, the Biden administration does, with pretty much everything they've mishandled. And it's because they've mishandled it. See how that happens? That's like the circle of life here. If you politically mishandle something, that's public policy wise, then you're going to continue to have problems. They've politically mishandled the border. They've public policy wise mishandled the border. So they have a political problem with it. They public policy wise have mishandled everything around the world as far as these international conflicts. They have a political problem with it because they're on everybody's side and nobody's side, and they just become a ridiculous farce. And that's why I'm going to tie this together with the Trump trial. That was like their Hail Mary coup de grace. And it's failed, right? Because, like I said, everybody woke up on Monday and went, okay, well, that's over. Now what are we going to talk about now? Let's talk about how Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, has been president for the last 3.5 years. What have you done for me lately? Am I better off now or was I better off then? See, the Trump trial's over. It's over. And everybody is now going, well, yeah, it sucks, but that was pretty much what we thought was going to happen. So what else you got now? Media. Are we going to talk about Joe Biden now, who's the actual president? And under his watch, 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years, we have inflation still at record highs. It compounds over time, right? So it's been 3 years now of compounding inflation. We have GDP numbers. I didn't even get to this yesterday. I meant to get to this. Did you know the GDP numbers for the last quarter were revised downward again to 1.3%? That's like below Obama levels. I mean, they're outdoing the previous crew of left-wing losers. So we if you're the Biden administration, you can't talk about the economy. You can't talk about inflation. You can't talk about most of the international issues because you've screwed all those up. And now that the Trump trial's gone, what's the result of that? Well, how about the fact that independents, according to a new INI tip poll, favor Trump by 12 points? Despite the guilty verdict. Yeah, this is a post-trial poll. Donald Trump is leading incumbent President Joe Biden among independent voters. In a new poll released after his guilty verdict last Thursday, the results come after millions in donations came pouring in after he was convicted in what many saw as a political court decision. According to a recent poll from Issue and Insights, TIPP, T-I-P-P, that's an acronym, Trump has made gains against Biden in the court of public opinion despite being found guilty in the New York City falsified documents case. Alleged. Among independent voters, get this, Trump leads Biden amongst independent voters 38-26 going into June. The national poll was conducted between May 29th and the 31st of over 1,600 registered voters with a margin of error of only 2.5%. The verdict issued on May 30th did not seem at this point to weaken the president's support. Now, I still think the political jury is out on this. Let's wait another week or so for the cake really to get baked on this verdict. And then I think we can start making some conclusions for sure as to whether the verdict affects the polling or not. The only poll that matters is going to be the one we conduct in November, and that's the general election poll. Hey, final, I don't know if it'll be final or not, but just a little update. The Baker Lloyd family had the funerals today. They had the memorial service down in Neosho, Missouri, way down in southwest Missouri. Representative Ben Baker was very kind enough to come on our program. I know Ben personally. It was a difficult interview, extremely difficult for him. We could tell. It was difficult for us as well because, you know, it's harder when you know someone personally and you feel their loss, right? Because it affects you as someone connected to them. I wish I could have gotten down there. It just wasn't in the cards this week. Too much going on. And, it would have been like, I don't know, 12 hours round trip their way down there. But luckily through the wonders of technology, I was able to watch the services today. My old producer from my Springfield days, Cass Bowen, was able to live stream that on her Facebook page. And you can go back and look at the services because of course they're saved for posterity. And, they were wonderful. I became very emotional just watching the parts I was able to watch. What wonderful people Natalie and Davey Lloyd were. What selfless human beings. What we should all aspire to do and B, all that those young people were. They were barely on this planet for two decades each, and they accomplished so much in such a meaningful way. We can all hope to be as awesome as they were. So may they rest in peace. I feel so sorrowful for the family members that will no longer have these wonderful young people in their company. And I just want to pay our final respects to them today. It was a very emotional ceremony to watch that. 5:56 in the PM. I do have Larry Connors USA information coming up here. Let's see what we've got here. Larry Connors USA coming up at 6:05. Larry's got Dr. Fake Fauci admits extorting Americans. Hunter Biden defense team, I didn't know I was buying a gun. And third, the U.S. flag is a hate symbol. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? That's what the lunatic left is saying these days. Joey, are the Cards, they're back in the juice box tonight? Is that where they are tonight in Houston, do we
think?
They
better be, or just, you know, forfeit. Why even play the game?
Well, we got to get back to 500, Joey.
Okay.
That's for sure. All right, Joey V will be back in studio tomorrow with one Chris Arps. Chris will be back from the assignment he's been on. I'll be joining the guys remotely. You won't even be able to tell I'm not here, though. I'll be giving you some stories from Indianapolis. I love Indianapolis. Excited to visit them tomorrow with the Alec gang. And then we'll all be back in studio on Friday. The week's going very quickly. Keep it right here. Larry Connors USA is next here. Thanks for listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. God bless y'all. God bless America.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.